Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hands down, this is the most important broadcast of my life. And probably one of the most important transmissions you've ever seen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, I'm calling to report a Kevin moment. So I just spent the last about 15 minutes trying to find my pajamas. I went through all my drawers. I went everywhere. I looked in my hamper, trying to figure out where the hell my pajamas are. And then I looked down and realized I already was wearing them. Yeah.
Taking heroin, speed, uppers, downers, blues, morphine, methadone, mushrooms, quaaludes, acid, Valium, barbiturates, straight LSD, marijuana laced with opium, Nembutal, mescaline, of course, and medicinal methylquinolone, which made me shake uncontrollably for 6 days and vomit on the hour.
Porn? How'd that get on my bag?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Shut up, Bean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't like the tone of your voice.
I'm not happy with the farting.
That comment crossed the line, huh? That's very funny.
But don't bogart that joint.
Al, you want to get high?
Just pass it around.
You know what? That's an acceptable answer.
You still don't know the facts.
I just pass it on down.
And now
it's Fryay. Fryay. Gotta get down on Fryay.
Our feature presentation.
Right? I mean, Fryay.
Right?
I mean, it's not a thing.
It's Fryay.
Fryay is dumb.
Everybody was blaming me yesterday when they got that push notification from Starbucks that Fryay was almost here. It was in one of their ad blasts that they sent out yesterday.
Anyone else shocked at how many of our listeners have notifications from Starbucks on their phone?
I was.
What are they sending you that's news to you and you're like, I need that?
Stuff like Fryay.
Fryay. See, it just makes you angry.
Right.
Delete it.
I don't know why you would need to hear from Starbucks ever.
Do they have specials or something?
I assume they must.
Maybe a little coupon or something you could bring in.
That's weird.
Or maybe you're just, maybe you're waiting for when the pumpkin spice, for instance, is introduced. Maybe you're waiting. That's the email blast you're hoping for is to let you know when that's available or something. I mean, I guess you have to be really into coffee. Do you get any? What notifications do you get on your phone, Allie, if any?
None. Just email. Email and maybe a text. That's it.
No,
those are the only
get...
two that I have push notifications for.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Why would I care?
News.
No.
Like I have
news.
New York Times.
No.
I have New York Times and CNN notifications on my phone.
Because
if something and AP also. Because if something happens,
right,
you want to know about it.
Sure.
I feel like I will soon enough.
How about you, Kevin? Any notifications?
Less than Allie. Whatever that is.
Just text,
that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's no way email pops up.
I have none.
Doesn't it seem like in the course of doing things on your phone, they ask you 10 times a day to allow notifications?
Yes. Every app does. Every single one. And you just
and
go,
I always
nope.
Say no.
Yeah.
Except for new stuff.
Well,
I was really really surprised to hear from all those Starbucks folks yesterday. That's for sure. So, well, it is Fryay, you guys.
It's not Fryay. Nope. We're not going to do that.
And we have a big program today.
It's Friday.
You heard the guy in the opening
I heard
about
him.
How it was Fryay.
Yeah, no.
Got to get down on Fryay.
Nope.
Here's a story to get us started, which is a man in Florida. This is out of the Tampa Bay Times, which shockingly, it says on their masthead, is the winner of 12 Pulitzer Prizes. Would you have ever imagined that?
Anything in Florida? No.
No.
Same here. It's an article about a man named John Hotson, who is now 44 years old. He is the alumni director for Kaiser University. I'm unfamiliar with that. But his life changed on July 29th, 1981. Does that date remind you of anything? Is that stick in your head
No.
for any particular reason? July 29th, 1981. Allie, how about you?
Mm-mm.
That was the day that Lady Diana and Prince Charles got married.
Okay.
He was 8 years old at the time, and his mom woke him up and said, you really need to come see this for historical purposes. Again, he's eight. He's one of 750 million people who watched that wedding live on television. And he says, everything changed for me that day. I fell in love with Diana. She was the prettiest person in the whole world. I followed her my entire life. I loved her humanitarian work. I had a photo of her on my nightstand throughout college.
Oh, dear.
All right.
What would that be like for a young college girl to come into John's room?
I don't think girls were going
in
John's room.
That is very possible.
That picture represents the only female that's ever been in his room.
That is very possible, yes. That's a weird choice. Look, I have pictures of the queen in my house, but it's something about having her on his nightstand is weird to me.
Hold on, please.
Yeah. What?
What?
Like a painting or something? Like a pop culture type painting.
I have those too, No, I also have photographs. I also have photographs of the queen in frames. And the queen mother. Yes, I do.
No.
So,
and queen
here's why John Hotson is in the paper, though, is because that started his lifelong love of Princess Diana, and he started collecting items about her and from her, and now he owns one of the largest collections of Princess Di items in the world. He has more than 13,000 pieces in his home that have to do with Princess Diana. 6 years ago, a museum valued the collection at more than $500,000. When Diana died, I started writing to people who knew her with the hope of gathering signatures, along with a portfolio of remembrances from people who knew her. Along the way, people started sending other things, starting with a friend sending me signed birthday cards. I got Diana's T-shirt, a notepad that she got when she was on vacation in Barbados. I have a bar of soap from the trip that Diana washed her hands with.
Oh, okay. Now it's getting creepy.
His favorite piece... It is a slice of their wedding cake, which I did not know until this article, is fruitcake. They had fruitcake as their wedding cake. Isn't that a surprise to anyone?
That's the worst ever.
Yeah, that marriage
it's
doomed.
Right? It's awesome, and everybody loves fruitcake, and it's the best cake. But why would you ever have that at a wedding reception?
Yeah.
It will never get old. He gets asked all the time if he's ever tried a piece of it, and he says, no, it's a 36-year-old fruitcake, and it looks really bad.
Oh, no, they all look bad. That one will last forever.
Yeah, it's fruitcake.
He could take a bite of that in 100 years, and it'll be great.
Hey, we just saw that story last week about that 100-year-old fruitcake that was discovered where, like at the South Pole or someplace, and it still is edible, right? Anyway, so he sends away for stuff and gets stuff signed all the time. He has a tiny swatch of fabric from the bolt of fabric that was used to make her wedding dress. He's got the zipper from the dress that she wore to the Back to the Future premiere. I mean, he just has some bizarre items. He got John Travolta to sign the photograph, the famous photo of him dancing with Princess Diana at the Reagan White House.
I'm uncomfortable with this guy.
Yeah.
Too much love for Diana?
Yeah. Yeah.
And his favorite day was he arranged to have private tea with Sarah Ferguson, another member of the royal family, the Duchess of York, and got together and had an hour-long conversation about Diana with Fergie. So that was his favorite day. So anyway, he says he'll never sell it, but it's one of the most valuable collections of its kind in the world. So I guess everybody's got their thing, right?
Everyone does have their thing.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
And this is the other way to go. Not.
It's Friday, so Ralph, take us a look at the movie beat. We also have Bert Kreischer in studio, who we love so much.
So
the machine.
I think, didn't he, within the first 30 seconds he was on the show last time, call his daughter an idiot?
A moron.
Moron.
Yeah, I think absolutely did. And continued it for a whole segment.
Yeah, he's the best. keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Bert rarely has a shirt on, too. What's that about?
You know, you can't contain that much man in fabric.
Exactly.
I guess so. Yeah. All right.
We also have Keep It 100. We have great news on the program today. The B-Team podcast highlights. Bean tells me that this is amazing, but it is the Blida in Reseda. Now, what year was that, Bean?
1994, I am told. And as I understand, when the boys brought this out, the B-Team podcast is a podcast that Lightning, the King Mixer, and DJ Omar Khan are doing about the Kevin and Bean Show, where they take your questions and they go back and they play audio from past shows. And I don't know that I've heard this, and they said it has never been aired since it aired originally in 1994. I'm telling you, it's riveting. It is riveting. This boxing match, well, we'll tell you all about it later on, but early on in the fight, Jimmy Kimmel realizes he could get killed.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel realizes this is not a radio bit. This is a fight.
Jimmy Kimmel was there for a radio bit.
Right.
Yes. Michael, the maintenance man, was not.
He was there to fight.
He was there to knock Jimmy off the planet. Yeah.
And it is terrifying to listen to it unfold in real time. And thank God Michael, the maintenance man, didn't kill the future host of the Oscars that day.
And also with a brand new internet roundup. Today we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
Ralph Garman is here. That means it's time to take a look at our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Oh, Leah Remini, right?
She in trouble?
As always.
Uh-oh.
She dares to speak out.
Anytime the headline is Leah Remini, I'm very concerned what the next words are going to be.
Well,
vanished, something like that.
No, she's out there. She's loud. She's proud. Get used to her. She was doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything segment, and someone asked her about Tom Cruise regarding her days in Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
And she revealed that her opinion, Tom Cruise is not a good person, she says.
Oh. That makes me sad.
She didn't kill a puppy.
No, it just makes me sad. I like Tom Cruise. I want him to be a good person.
Leah claims it's a different man lurking behind his charming public persona. People behind the scenes call him absolutely diabolical, and she compares him to Scientology head David Miscavige.
I do feel like he may be the same person as Miscavige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he strikes me that way as well.
Don't you get a sense there's sort of a veneer about him?
Too, like a clown. He's too happy all the time.
Something's up. Looks like Chelsea Handler and Jennifer Aniston may have turned into frenemies. What?
Oh, no.
Yep.
That's not a thing, is
it? They were very close, right?
Yes. They are no longer on good terms, according to sources. And rumor has it was Chelsea spilling secrets about Jen's marriage to Justin Theroux to mutual friends that caused the split. Oh, man.
Hmm. Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Right?
I would imagine if you are Jennifer Aniston and every single move you make is dissected and blown up by the tabloids, you would appreciate some sort of, you know, privacy. And you'd want your friends to respect that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A little discretion if you're hanging out with Jennifer Aniston. Don't go blabbing to people.
That part of life would suck for her.
Yeah.
I've recently found myself retweeting a Chelsea Handler tweet, and I said, thanks, Trump. See what you've done now? Got me retweeting Chelsea Handler in agreement.
Now you have to side with
nice
her?
Nice work, yeah. As if everything else he hasn't done wasn't bad enough.
And that ain't right. Ain't right at all. No, it isn't.
Allie, let me ask you a question. This is usually split down gender lines, but I think you may be the anomaly.
Butt stuff?
Well, butt stuff, sure. Mm-hmm. But also, Three Stooges, yay or nay?
I get that they were a thing.
And are a thing.
Right?
Oh,
no thanks.
God, you're the worst.
Hard pass.
Best. Stooges, still to this day, out there crushing it. And by it, I mean skulls with pipes, usually. Oh.
See, that's enough right there. Why would I need to watch an hour of that?
Well, you'll be happy to know that the Stooges are living on, this time in India. India has announced they are updating the Three Stooges for Indian television.
I want to see that.
All new actors, that's awesome.
The working title is Three Stooges Bole To Hungama Yogaya.
Very catchy.
Which in the Hindi language translates into English as, when you say the Three Stooges, you mean a laugh riot.
That's too many words.
And they're not wrong. New talent will be cast in the roles of Larry, Moe, and Curly.
That's awesome.
And the Indian Three Stooges will be, I'm predicting, the biggest stars in Indian television.
I want to see the Indian Three Stooges immediately.
The Stooges franchise, by the way, is growing constantly. There is currently being developed separately here in the States, the Little Three Stooges, which will be the story of the Three Stooges as kids when they were hanging out.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going dwarf.
No! Stop it.
I'd rather watch that, actually.
I might tune in.
And there's also a sequel in the works to the Three Stooges movie that starred Sean Hayes, Chris Diamantopoulos, and Will Sasso. So, Stooges wow. very much on the pop culture radar.
Well, Stooges all the time. All
right? Mm. Stooges. What I'm saying. And sorry, folks. Looks like there's not going to be a fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion on the TV. DJ Jazzy Jeff hinted that the fan favorite could be coming back in a special, but Alfonso Ribeiro told TMZ that fans need to let it go. It's not going to happen.
He's the one telling people to let it go?
I don't know if he's in a position to turn down any gigs right now.
Right?
If I was him, I'd be lighting a candle for the other for the other result. Really? Huh. This is going to surprise you. People still buy DVDs.
Is that right?
Yep.
What was the last DVD you bought, Ralph?
Bought?
Yeah.
It was probably the Blu-ray collection of all the James Bond films. The 50th anniversary box set of all the James Bond films. It was probably the last disc I bought.
And how long ago was that? Because for me, I think it's been a couple of years.
50 years, so it was 2012, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, we know. You bought...
You buy them daily.
Bought a DVD of the Queen's Mother's Birthday Jambalaya.
I bought a DVD of the 1965 Disney classic That Darn Cat about a month ago. Not available on streaming. Can't get it anywhere. Can't watch it. So if you want to watch it,
how frustrating to not be able to watch That Darn Cat,
right? Yes, that's so occasionally. I mean, there are still a lot of things that have not ended up on the streaming services. So that's what you got to do.
I mean, technically, I only asked Ralph.
Oh. I thought we were having a conversation.
I'm just kidding.
I thought everybody was invited.
Here's your top 10 DVD sales. Anybody know what that is?
The Circle.
Circle?
It sounds familiar. It's a movie.
Horror movie, maybe?
Recent
maybe?
Movie that we talked about, but I don't recall the details.
Is it the Tom Hanks movie with like the social
media?
Oh,
yes.
That's it. That's
Chip
it.
For
yeah.
the win.
Saw it.
What?
Did you?
Didn't recognize the name, but saw the movie.
What's wrong with you?
A lot, Ralph. A lot.
Yeah, that was Emma Watson. Yeah,
oh.
Right.
And Finn.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, and Finn,
was ninth, no surprise there. Ghost in the Shell was eighth. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. The Fate of the Furious, number six. Kong Skull Island, Going in Style. The Boss Baby. Now that I think of it, I did buy something more recently because for the kids sometimes... We've got a portable player, and it's
that makes sense
to get kids' movies on DVD. Boss Baby just made me think of that. I think it might have been the Boss Baby, actually. Snatched was second. Anyone?
Snatched. Yeah, that's the Amy Schumer Goldie Hawn movie.
Oh, people are still buying that on DVD. Seems like it came out about a year and a half ago. And number one, this shocked me. This stunned me. King Arthur: Legend of the Sword. That King Arthur movie that was a giant bust in theaters. Is the number one selling DVD.
Is that right? Huh. That is shocking.
Shocking. People liked it so much, they should have gone to the theaters and seen it.
Yeah. Dave says that the Snatch DVD just came out last week.
Oh, there you go. That explains it. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Redford is 81 years old today. Dennis Leary turned 60. Edward Norton is 48. Everlast, also 48. Christian Slater's 48. A lot of 48-year-olds today. Caitlin Olsen, 42 years old today. Andy Samberg turns 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
LA and OC's alternative. Rock. Carol Q.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to
to my world.
A whole bunch of movies come out this weekend, many of them in limited release. Almost too many to talk about, so we picked out some of the highlights. Two limited release films, one blockbuster-style comedy, and then a cool little film that you can find anywhere. But let's take a look first at the limited release films. This film's getting a ton of critical attention. It's called Patty Cakes. It's centered about an aspiring young rapper who is white female. She is an unlikely rapper, say the best, and she is trying to get out of her small hometown there in New Jersey and make something of herself. Her mother is sort of a failed singer as well, and the odds are stacked against Patty Cakes, a.k.a. Patricia Dombrowski, in this film that, as I mentioned, is getting a lot of attention from a lot of folks. Here's some clips from the trailer of Patty Cakes.
My daughter doesn't like real music. Patricia here is a rapper. I work that ass like a
Brazilian, make a million hits. Who is this Dumbo bitch? You looking like a pig in shit. Have you ever thought once about a gym membership?
I thought I could be someone.
You already are.
There you go. Also coming out this weekend, this looks fascinating. A really thoughtful drama called Marjorie Prime, which is about a service based vaguely in the future that provides holographic recreations of your deceased loved ones. Mm-hmm. And you get to interact with the people who have passed on in your life via computer program. And this one particular family, Tim Robbins is in it, Gina Davis, Lois Smith, who's terrific, and John Hamm all star in this film and have to deal with the ramifications of what it's like to have someone who's passed on back in your life and how it affects everyone in the family. Marjorie Prime is the name of the film. Here's some clips from the trailer.
I still don't like it.
What?
Dad's been dead for 15 years.
Does it bother you that your mother's talking to a computer program or that a computer program is pretending to be your dad?
Well, you're a good Walter, either way.
Thank you.
Creeps me out.
It's how she remembers him.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
You learn. I like that.
She's nicer to that thing than she is to me.
It's your father that she's being nicer to. Are you jealous?
You are all going to die tonight.
No, I don't think that's...
I don't think, important. I don't think anyone's going to die tonight. It's just...
It is interesting with these holograms, just like with the conversations people are having about robots, as they get more and more human-like and more and more interactive, do people start treating them like people? It's an interesting concept.
Hitman's Bodyguard opens up this weekend. Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson in just a human cartoon of a movie.
This looks great.
It does look good. Very physical, very ridiculous. The world's top bodyguard, played by Ryan Reynolds, gets a new client, a hitman who has to testify in the International Court of Justice. And so he's got to protect his life as you can imagine, there are people who don't want him to testify, so they're out to get him. And the two of them, it looks like a cartoon. They bounce off of buildings and land on the concrete and get up and start arguing and say, what world is this taking place in? Yeah, at the same time, it looks very funny. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Hitman's Bodyguard.
You won't last 1 hour without me. You eat my ass. That's what she said.
I hope they kill him. I really do. This guy single-handedly ruined the word mother.
Tick-tock, mother. I will bust a cap in your ass.
Have you ever said please?
Please, mother. Why are we always yelling?
Two very, very funny personalities, Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson together. This looks like a laugh riot to me. And then Logan Lucky is coming out this weekend. Steven Soderbergh is the director. Channing Tatum and Adam Driver play the Logan brothers, who have to come up with an idea to pull off a heist at a NASCAR race in North Carolina. Daniel Craig is the safecracker. They bust out of prison to get to help them with it. Riley Keough's in this film. Seth MacFarlane is almost unrecognizable in his role in this film. This looks terrific. Steven Soderbergh's just a great filmmaker, and it looks like everyone in this cast is having a good time. Here's some clips from the trailer of Logan Lucky.
The only guy who knows anything about blowing up real bank vaults is Joe Banks.
I am incarcerated.
Yeah, we got a plan to get you out. Well,
I know everything there is to know about computers, okay? All the Twitters, I know them.
I'm about to get naked, so no bacon. I said no bacon.
You Mogans must be as simple-minded as people say.
People say that.
Ah, the South. Ah, Southerners. How appropriate is it for this movie to come out this weekend? Those are your picks at the box office. Me, personally, I'm going to go to Hitman's Bodyguard and laugh my ass off this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I will walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
I have to tell you that I have mixed feelings about next week now, Kevin. You know, I... Well, first of all, you know I have the eclipse fever, right?
Yep.
Eclipse.
Yeah, so you've had that for a couple of months now.
Right. really excited about Monday.
Right.
But now I wake up this morning and I see that Wednesday the world ends.
I mean, it's not ideal.
I mean, that does kind of put a damper on my excitement for next week is what I'm saying. A Christian numerologist slash doomsdayer named David Mead is in the news. He has a book called Planet X, the 2017 Arrival. That is getting a lot of attention right now because he says, yeah, enjoy your eclipse on Monday, but look out because on a Wednesday, Nibiru, also known as Planet X, is on a rogue path heading for Earth, and it will hit us and destroy the whole planet.
Oh, no.
Well, that sucks.
But we have Tuesday to really
enjoy.
We
still have Tuesday.
Yeah, we have Tuesday. So, yeah. So I don't know what he has seen in the Bible that indicates that this is where we're at, but this is the kind of information I think is important enough to get on the air immediately to help our listeners decide how to spend their final hours. So David Mead joins us on the phone right now. Hey, David, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're very good. Thank you.
Forgive my ignorance, sir, but what is a Christian numerologist?
I am a Christian who takes the numbers of the things and puts them in the ordering of the things to make the happenings.
Okay. What is so significant about the number 33?
This seems to... I'm with the 30 and the 3.
What? Well, I didn't get an answer there. What?
Yes, 33 is... a very significant number, because there's 33 times in Genesis the Elohim appears, which is a significance of great significance.
What?
Of what?
The moon.
Okay.
Will be in a black moon stage, which occurs every 33 months, you see.
Right.
And okay. Then the eclipse will appear over Oregon, which is right. America's 33rd state.
Ah.
So and then it will go all the way, all crossing the things, to the 33rd North Parallel near Charleston, South Carolina.
That's a lot of 33s.
And
but
then 99 years ago, it was the last time we had a similar thing with the happening over America. 99! Okay, it's three times 33.
Right, it is. But why is 33 significant, though, and why does it mean sudden death of the Earth?
Because... The Earth will be changing.
Right.
With 33 times difference of things.
I don't even understand what you just said.
Then Nibiru, the Planet X, will come crashing into the whole thing with the breaking of the planet.
Right.
And then, everybody is in trouble. You better... It's Friday.
It's not Friday.
That's the other sign of the apocalypse. When the Friday starts being used, that's when you know it's all over.
Is that in the Bible as
well? The Bible say, and then shall not say it's Friday unto the brothers and sisters for fear of getting punched in the face.
So maybe it's best if the world just ends at this point,
Friday!
Huh? Right, yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Bert Kreischer.
No, don't you start too.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
What happened? How did you work so hard for so many years to establish a well-known name in comedy and then have some guy come along and make everybody change it all of a sudden?
Because I befriend really horrible human beings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My buddy, probably my best friend, Tom Segura, is a very talented comic. That's how you talk about people, Tom. He decided to start fat-shaming me. On his podcast, And for, and by the way, I was 265 when it started, and it caught fire. Like, he was like, Bert kind of looks like Gerard Depardieu. You know, hey, guys, we all need to help. We need an intervention. We need to get him to lose weight. Fat shame him. It got bad.
Really?
Like this is how bad
like
it got.
Like, this isn't funny anymore at all?
It got to a place where it was like, I go online one morning on Instagram. I'm like scrolling through pictures, and our friend's mom passed away in hospice. She posted a picture of her holding her mom's hand. No, we were babysitting her daughter. She was in hospice with her mom. She's like, my sweet mother passed last night. So I wrote back, hey, Sam, we love you. We'll see you later. We have your daughter. And then one of our idiot fans sees that I commented, and right underneath it goes, sorry for your loss. Did Bert sit on your mom?
Wow.
And then the next person sees it and is like, hey, keep the body cold. Bert's probably going to want to eat it. It just got so insane. And then Rogan and Ari, everyone heard about it. And it was, see, the problem is with this online shaming, half of them are just idiots. The other half are just cruel, but there's a fraction that are absolutely hilarious. And those are the ones that you just got to go.
It's a very small group, though.
Careful the refrigerator doesn't fall on you, Bert. Like, it's just, and so Tom and I did this challenge where we're going to lose weight. We're going to go on Rogan for 2 days and do weigh-ins for 2 days.
Okay.
We both lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
Tom lost more, but his breasts lost their integrity. So, like, you know how they collapse off to the side?
Sure. Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. you've seen fat guys, or they got to wear a shirt at the beach. That's
right.
Tom.
Yeah.
So if he takes his shirt off, he looks like a car driving down the street with his doors open.
So you won.
Yeah, so I technically won because my body looks better.
Sure.
Tom might be quote-unquote skinnier,
right.
but, like, biggest loser skinnier. You're mm-hmm. like, huh, they did 150 pounds. They still look ridiculous. Like, I still have that baby fat. Like, mm-hmm. like one side's bigger because I sleep on my right side, so I think all the fat aggregates there.
You've got some interesting theories. Yeah.
And I'm in great shape. Physically, I'm in great shape for a guy who parties every single night. Now,
right.
Last night I had an unassisted sleep because I was coming here. You don't do unassisted sleeps?
No.
Sleeps with no drugs or alcohol?
No.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
I have never thought of you as a fat guy.
Thank you.
You carry it well. And the thing about Bert is you know exactly what he's carrying because he has a shirt off about 80% of his life.
Yeah.
But I looked at you and I go, there's a dad bod, but I never looked at you and said, there's a fat guy.
You know what? I've never had a problem with my body ever. I rock Speedos all the time in earnest.
Right, but you shouldn't.
No, you should. Speedos are the best way to swim. I dare you to put on a Speedo and get in the water. You will feel like a dolphin just And by the way, I've swam with dolphins a lot like a strip club. A lot like a strip
club. Is that right?
Yeah, they put on the face. Like, they definitely don't want to be there, but like, And they're like, hey, can I touch her? And they're like, yeah, but don't touch the hole. Yeah.
Very much like a strip.
I swim with dolphins a lot. Like, probably more than almost dolphin trainers. Because I was on Travel Channel, so that was always like the big swim with dolphins. Uh-huh. And then they're like, we got to go to Mexico to do it because it's not legal here. And then you're
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, and then you just look at the dolphin with that dead eyes. Like, I'm doing this because I got a kid in the water, too.
I think the first time we might have had you on might have been a long time ago talking about one of your Travel Channel shows. You went all over the world, right?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. I went everywhere. It was insane.
Any scary situations?
I had a day.
Any non-scary situations?
I had a day where I jumped off the world's tallest stadium in Africa, went swimming with great white sharks, and rappelled off Table Mountain in a 12-hour period.
Wow.
That is a day where you're sitting on the edge of your bed shaking, going like, should I get drunk? Like, I need to touch myself or something. Like, it was intense. I mean, I was the first person to jump off the stratosphere. I went skydiving with Rachel Ray. I fought a bear. I was a dominatrix gimp. These are all the jobs I've had, all the shows I've done. And so... I fought the Gracies. You know the Gracies?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
They got a place out in Tarzana, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Uh-huh.
I fought four of them at once. Yeah, and they choked me out.
Well,
like
Henner and all them?
Like, yeah. I think Henner's the one that choked me out.
You say they choked me out because
that's
a surprise.
Well, they're the Gracies. They're going to.
You can see all of this online. I got mauled by a bull. Type in Hurt Burt Rodeo Clown. I got mauled by a bull. They gave me no. The night before, I'm having panic, so I take a Xanax, kill about 9 beers. Not the great way to prepare for bullfighting.
Well, maybe.
I remember being like coffee after coffee after coffee, going, I can't wake up. This isn't how you want to fight a bull.
Oh,
this
no.
isn't how you want to fight a bull. I was like, come on, Bert, hop to it, hop to it. And then they go. The guy goes in and he's like, I get dressed in the clown makeup. I'm terrified of clowns, although I support Insane Clown Posse right now.
Well, we all are.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely support them. They're creepy. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If I had my druthers, arrest them all. But I support what they're doing. So I get dressed in the clown makeup. He's like, all right. And I go, are we going to learn anything about this? And he goes, stay away from the bull. I was like, wow, great sage advice there, Scott.
Was there, go ahead, is there more to this story?
No, okay. We're going
to
end it.
Is there anything, no, I wasn't trying to.
I'm done if you're done. I'm sorry. Is like sex with my wife. No. Is there more to this? No, that was all I was going
to
do.
No, I wasn't trying to. I wanted you to finish.
Hey, if you don't want to, I don't want you to.
I wanted you to finish, which is something maybe your wife doesn't say. But I'm just saying, I wanted to make sure you were done with the story. Has there been anything that you said no to where it was the worst idea ever? No. Never.
You've never been too scared to take on a challenge?
Wait. One thing. So we're in San Francisco, and this is on Triplet, where I had to take two people on Adventures of a Lifetime. I find them on the street, take them on Adventures of a Lifetime. So we schedule hang gliding.
Right.
So we're driving out to the hang gliding spot on these bluffs outside of San Francisco, right over the ocean. And it's super windy. And my sound guy's like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't do it if I were you.
Have you done it before?
I had never done it.
Never done it.
And he goes, super dangerous. And I go, really? He goes, very dangerous. He goes, hang gliding hasn't really matured. It's just stayed where it was in the 70s.
Right.
So he's like, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. So I go, okay. I got that in my head. So we go out to go hang gliding. The guy's like, all right.
I like that you didn't call it yet.
I definitely haven't called it yet. So I go, they're like, listen, we're racing the sun. So I go, well, let's get our travelers up and get those shots. And then if we have time, I'll go up last. So we're like, okay.
Smart.
So he goes, get the dude in first. They're all a little scared. Guy goes in, gets on the hang glide, gets up. They pop up 40 feet and they stay. They don't go anywhere. They just stay like a hover? Like a seagull.
Wow.
Just hovering. We're like, wow, that's cool. He's got such control. All of a sudden, from 40 feet, they drop, slam to the ground, and we hear in the mics just, and then the guy driving is like super mad. He's like, I broke my hang glider. I broke my hang glider. Like, and my traveler's like, whoa. I was like, are you hurt? He goes, no, I'm fine, but that was scary.
Yeah.
And then they go, don't worry, we got another hang glider. But now his chick's supposed to go. And she's like, I'm a little scared. I don't know if I want to go. And I'm like, hey, what are the odds he's going to wreck twice in one day?
I don't know if the weather plays a part.
It gets worse. he goes, all right. So they get the thing, they get up to 40 feet, and they hover. And all of us are like,
no.
Oh, we've been here before. This isn't good. And then all of a sudden, they take off. Like the dog from Funny Farm, they just take off and start going. And all our sound guy goes, because he's got mics on him and he's losing connection. He goes, they're gone, guys. We don't know where they're going. He can't control it.
And
he just takes off. And we're like, all right, well, how attached to your girlfriend were you?
Oh, no.
That show, Trip Flip, was the most ill-conceived show you could have ever done. Because you just met these people and you were having to build a show around them and you didn't know. Like, I took an interracial couple from Alaska. They were like,
all right, you have to pause right there, Bert, because we got to take a very quick break.
Okay. Leave it
the
with interracial.
Is here, right, exactly. Bert Kreischer, by the way, Brea Improv, four more shows to come this weekend. You played last night in Brea. You're here this morning at this time of day, Bert. That's amazing.
On the machine.
That's dedication. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Tickets just $25 to see the great Bert Kreischer on stage. Improv.com. More with Bert right after this on KLS.
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
I briefly wondered this week how Bert Kreischer's latest podcast could have been 3.5 hours long, but now I am reminded as to why, because that's the man that Bert Kreischer is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's correct.
Bert is a talker, and we love him, and he's in town at the Brea Improv. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, and you can get your tickets for $25 at improv.com. And by the way, here's a tip for you comedy fans. Bert is working up his next one-hour special, so he's working in some new stuff that you haven't heard before that sounds awesome, Bert.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oddly enough, none of that stuff that I just did is on it until now.
Bert, we had to take a break. We were enjoying some of your stories from the travel days and the travel show, and we had to cut you off on an interracial couple in Alaska.
Yeah, this is a quick one, but we found this couple, and I oddly enough played Yugi Gossin, which is a professional stoneball fight with the guy. Like, he was a played professional baseball.
Okay.
So I see him, and I was like, his name's Jamal. I go, dude, we got a trip. I had to take you on a trip. And I was like, where do you want to go? He's like, I'm black, and I've never been to Lower 48. I'd like to see the South. I was like, oh, we got a trip for the South. Like, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. We're going to South Carolina. So I was like, great. Meet you down there. They fly down, pick him up. First day in, we're like, this is going to be great. We're going to our first activity, and halfway there, I went, uh-oh, we're going to a Civil War reenactment. I was like, we did not think this through.
Hmm. You took a black guy to a Civil War reenactment.
Yeah, and then he looks at me like as we pull up, and I was like, cameras are all on. I go, we're going to a Civil War reenactment. And his face drops. He goes, what team are we on? I go, the wrong one. he was very cool, considering that night we made him sleep in old slave quarters, too. Oh, yeah, and it was haunted by a man who had killed the people in there for having interracial relationships, and we put him and his interracial couple in there with cameras around, and he slept perfectly, and the girl was up all night being haunted.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Bert knows how to show his friends a good time.
He does. He really does.
I'm a fun guy, you know?
you definitely are. Bert, you've been a partier your whole life. You became famous for it at Florida State University. Have you ever had, serious question here, have you ever had a problem with drugs or alcohol?
No.
How do you suppose?
Let's change the subject. My wife listens, okay? No, we're good. No, okay.
I just don't know how you do it.
You know what? I'm like, you can't. First of all, you can't tell if I'm drunk. Second of all, if I do get drunk, mm-hmm. I tap out. I tap out immediately.
You do.
Yeah, I tap out. I'm like, because I've had those nights where you're at a dinner party and everything's going good, and then you stand up and you're like, I can beat any Asian in a foot race. And then everyone's like, what?
Why would he say that?
I'll tell you why I would say that. It was a sober thought that turned into a drunk word. One night, I'm watching an Asian woman run, and I go, that doesn't look natural. Like, it doesn't. And then I go, I've never really seen, like, an Asian tailback or an Asian cornerback. And then I was like, wait. So I Google, and I go, hey, no Asian person from any Asian country ever has won a gold, silver, or bronze medal in any foot race ever in the Olympics ever. So I go, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I'll work it into a bit. Then I get drunk, and I'm like talking to my friend Sandy, who's Vietnamese. I'm like, I can beat any Asian in a foot race. My wife's like, we got to go now, guys.
Maybe dinner, wrong time to work that in.
The only thing you can see from space is Park La Brea. My wife's like, that's wrong. That's totally wrong.
That's how they know it's time to give you the hook.
Yeah. My wife starts going, yeah, that's right. They're like, oh, we're making an entry. Does anyone know where we're coming in? Is that Park La Brea? All right, go 90 miles south towards that. There should be a... Yeah.
Can you imagine being Bert's wife?
Oh. No.
Wow, that must just be crazy.
It is an uphill battle.
Right?
I can't imagine... Oh, I couldn't be her. I say things like, because if something's fun... Like, she says... The other day, she goes, one of my friends comes over to do a podcast. We have a big dog. We have a bull mastiff. And I go, every time someone sees this dog, it's 140 pounds. They go, she says, that's a big dog. How much does it weigh? She goes, 140 pounds. It's bigger than me. And then I just go, I don't know. I've seen you on all fours. I beg to differ.
You're a terrible human being.
And my friend's a comic. He starts dying laughing. And my wife's like, Bert. And I go, no, I'm being serious. I go, hop behind her. See, you tell me. Yeah, my wife says saint. A saint.
I mean,
much better parent than I am. Much better. We go to an IEP meeting one time. So we have, like, our daughter. I talked about Isla last time.
Yeah, I think you called her a moron in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, let's not relive that moment because they were listening in the car. And Isla's like, wait, is he talking about me? And my wife's like, wow, you really are a moron. He said your name and you didn't know he was talking about you. Well, I don't even know what I was saying now.
We tried to warn you. Remember, we tried to warn you. Yeah. We're like, are you sure you want to say that?
I was like, there's no way. Because my wife listens to Steve Harvey.
But you felt like you're fine. You were saying IEP meeting.
Oh, so we go into an IEP meeting. Now, I go out to
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Is that like a PTA meeting? Or?
No, a PTSD meeting. No. It's no. IEP stands for Individual Education Plan.
Okay.
So it's basically when you're not good at school, they give you an IEP.
Okay.
And Isla's dyslexic, like really dyslexic. Like, you sit and read with her and you watch her guess the words. She's like, pterodactyl? And you're like, no. She's like, pterodactyl? I'm like, no, it's the Isla. Trust me. Very few books you're going to read are going to start off with pterodactyl. So I go out
partying. Poor Isla.
I'm at the store.
For her. Yep.
And the way the store works these days is all of a sudden you show up and it is a insane party going on in the back bar. Stanhope's there. Marilyn Manson's there. Like, it's insane. Rogan, Bill Burr, Jeff, everyone's there.
Right.
So I have a late night.
Yeah.
Really late. Like, see the sunrise late. And yeah. And go, not that kind of, but you know, like, so I go to sleep. I wake up and Leanne's like, hey, we have an IEP meeting at 7:30. I'm like, I'm going to tap out of that one. And she's like, no, you're not. You're dad. Man up, pony boy. Get some caffeine. We're going. So you can't bring hot coffee to the campus because it's LA and everyone's progressive. Because you might burn their face.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Hashtag Colfax.
Okay.
So I bring two Diet Cokes. I grab two Diet Cokes because I need the caffeine. Sit in the meeting. They're like, we're thinking about holding Isla back. And immediately I'm like, caffeine up. This is going to be a long meeting. So I crack one of the Diet Cokes, take a sip, and realize instantly I have a Coors Light.
At 7:30 in the morning in front of the teacher.
In front of three teachers.
Oh,
in front of three
man.
Teachers. And we're sitting at kids' chairs, right? At one of those kids' tables. And it is I'm telling you, it is a game time decision when you put that Coors Light to your lips and you realize this is not a Diet Coke.
Right.
I am tasting beer.
Right.
And then you're like, what do I do? Like, this is all instant decision making.
Right.
Because you can't go, oopsies, guys, this happens to all of us, right?
That was a mistake on my part.
But wow.
You power it down.
You gotta murder it. Yeah. You murder it and pray you got another Coors Light. Because who wants a Diet Coke after a Coors Light? I killed both Coors Lights. Are you ready for the real story?
Yes.
I killed both Coors Lights. I got a little bit of buzz. They're like, she's dyslexic. She's reading at a second grade level. I shouldn't have said that online, but on air, but. And they go, can we just teach her Braille? And they're like, what? I go, teach her Braille. Like, her eyes don't work. Like, what would you do if you had a blind kid? Would you just go, you're never going to go to school. You're never going to learn. And they go, no. I go, what do you do with a visually impaired kid? And they go, we give them audiobooks. I go, can we give her audiobooks? And they're like, yeah, I guess we could do that. And I was like, give her audiobooks. So they gave her audiobooks, and now she took off. She graduated fifth grade.
So beer was your answer.
You are the best with beer.
Beer an educational hero now.
Beer is the best.
Except when we were walking out, my wife's like, that was great, honey. And she's like, are you going to drive? I was like, I can't. I've been drinking.
Bert, you are a wonder, my friend. What a life. There needs to be, forget Big Brother, they need 24-hour day cameras on Bert Kreischer, you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously. What a joy. All right, Brea Improv tonight and tomorrow night. Two big shows each night. $25 to see the great Bert Kreischer on stage. Improv.com. Bert, we love you, man. You're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I thank you so much. I've been doing radio a long time, and this has always been like the feather in the cap to any comic to come in here. And the fact that I am here pulling up this morning, it wasn't lost on me. So thank you very much.
You're awesome. Say thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Got a huge 8 o'clock hour scheduled, including the latest edition of Great News. I should have given you a heads up.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that.
Latest edition of Great News.
It was on. That's on you.
Why did you stop while it was going? It was reverbing.
It was
also
perfect.
Also, Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup nope, we're moved on.
Okay.
And also, we're going to play for the first time since 1994, I am told, audio from the Bleeda and Reseda, the boxing match between our former sports guy, Jimmy Kimmel, and our former man on the street, Michael the Maintenance Man. Hasn't been heard in 23 years, and it's well worth sticking around for. You'll enjoy that all coming up on K-Rock. First, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Anybody watching this Saturday Night Live Weekend Update Summer series they're doing?
I recorded it.
I saw last week's few episodes
behind.
Seen last
night's. I'm not all in on that one.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's not, they're not good.
It isn't. Okay.
Colin Jost and Michael Che are not good. But the upside is, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live episode because they've been getting a ton of guest stars coming by and doing stuff.
Oh, really?
Now, sadly, sometimes it's Jimmy Fallon. You can't control who they book. You don't know what you're going to do.
Right.
But on the other hand, sometimes it's Seth Meyers.
All right.
Sometimes it's both of them.
All right.
Or in last night's case, sometimes it's Tina Fey. And that's good news. She came on to talk about what had happened down in Charlottesville, Virginia, because, I did not know this, she was a graduate of the University of Virginia.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Which is in Charlottesville. Graduated in 1992. So the violence that happened down there was especially disturbing to her. And she came out and did a very funny bit about how to cope this new grassroots movement she's a part of, which is called sheet caking. which is when you get really depressed about what Trump is doing, you just go to a bakery and get a big sheet cake and just eat it.
Okay.
Just eat the entire sheet cake. It's a very funny segment. She was eating it alive on the air while she was trying to talk to shoveling a sheet cake into her mouth. It's pretty awesome. But she came out last night talking about the violence that had happened. Here's a little piece of it.
Anyway, Donnie John comes out and he says that he condemns violence on many sides, Colin. And I'm feeling sick because, you know, I've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and I wasn't confused by it. No, Colin, Nazis are always bad. I don't care what you say.
Well, I don't say.
Yeah, poor Colin Joseph got the worst of it there. She's just so good.
Yeah, she is. She's great.
She's the best. I miss her on my television set.
Yeah.
Can you fix that?
I don't think I can.
Kevin!
I'd like to.
What good are you? Congratulations to Patty Jenkins, who, of course, directed Wonder Woman. She will be back for the sequel. It's just been confirmed today, which is scheduled to be in theaters at the end of 2019. It was always assumed she would return, but they had to work out their deal. And apparently, although they're not throwing any numbers around, she reportedly now will be the highest paid female director in Hollywood. To which I would ask, that ain't hard. Why isn't she the highest paid director in Hollywood? Her movie just made $800 million.
Yeah. No kidding.
Zack Snyder's getting, I don't know, $10 million a picture. He directed Batman v Superman, for God's sakes. Gal Gadot, of course, will be back in the title role as well. But that's good movie news, as is the announcement made yesterday. There's another Star Wars standalone movie in the works. This one about Ben, Obi-Wan, Kenobi.
K-Rock.
LMNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
I'm excited about these one-offs.
Yeah, I suppose. Depends on who they're about. Like, for example, the Han Solo movies being shot as we speak with Ron Howard. That sounds great. An Obi-Wan Kenobi movie I'd definitely be in on. Boba Fett. I think there's a lot of interesting stories you can tell with that character. They've been talking about a Yoda movie. And then, as Ali mentioned this morning, they're also talking about a Jabba the Hutt film.
So
not every character maybe needs a standalone film.
But you need to find out how Jabba met Salacious Crumb. Come on.
No, we don't.
Never.
No. Chip, you're kind of like Salacious Crumb over there to Kevin's hut. It's like Kevin the Hutt, and you're over there going, just bouncing around, putting up audio clips and stuff.
I'm not the Hutt.
You're so the
Hutt. I'm not the Hutt.
You're a little bit of the Hutt.
Come on. I'm the Hutt-ish.
I'm not Hutt-ish.
You're a little Hutt.
I'm not the Hutt. I'm not Hutt adjacent.
You're a little Hutt.
Come on now.
You got a little Hutt.
What is the attraction of Star Wars? Who can say?
Everyone can say it's great. That's why we like it.
Not the Hutt.
You'd be surprised to hear one of the biggest hits on iTunes right now is a song that you cannot hear.
What?
You heard me. It is by a guy named Samir Mezrahi. He composed the track. It is selling like hotcakes out of iTunes for 99 cents a download. It is called A Very Good Song.
So smart.
And it is 10 minutes of silence.
Okay. And people are buying it?
Yes. You want to know why?
Yes, why?
Because when people plug their smartphones into their car, it automatically blasts the first track alphabetically.
Right.
So if you buy Samir's song, the first track to play will be Silence, since the name starts with five A's.
Okay.
So it saves you from hearing a blast of a song when you first set up your smartphone through your Bluetooth in your car. So you got Silence, and then you can scroll through and pick or shuffle whatever you want to do.
Do you know what your song is that you always hear?
Oh, yeah, it's Ed Sheeran something.
Okay.
A-Team, probably.
A-Team, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But this A-A-A-A-A Very Good Song would come on first, and you have a nice, quiet...
How much of a problem
nice,
is it?
Kick up.
It's real annoying.
It is?
Yes.
The struggle is real, Kevin.
Don't you just get in your...
Struggle is real.
I either like the song or I don't, and I change it.
No, man. Like,
this is why you're the Hutt.
What?
This is why you're the Hutt.
This is why
we discussed
this.
Hutt, come on. Hutt.
No, it's literally every time Hall & Oates Adult Education, and I just... I don't.
Education?
Yes.
Yeah. Why is that, first of all, in your playlist?
Right.
More importantly.
Really? Hall & Oates' Greatest Hits?
That song blows, though. That song blows.
It does.
Well, then don't have it.
Take it off.
Fix that.
Oh, I can do that.
You can take off songs, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I need one of you to walk me through that.
Yeah,
okay. One more thing, not the hut.
You're so hut.
A little bit hut.
You're huttish.
Just, I'm not.
You're Starsky and Hut. And congratulations to Whitesnake, right? Who's with me? Whitesnake!
Zero people.
Oh, my Lord. Their self-titled 1987 album, Whitesnake, is maybe the greatest album of all time.
Well, that may be overstated.
Did you say the greatest album of all time?
I'm mistaken. It is the greatest album of all time because it's got the greatest single of all time, which had the greatest video of all time.
That's true.
I wish I was her.
That's true.
The best.
Here I go again.
Here I go again.
Going down the only road I've ever known. Yeah, like a drifter.
Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
Why no are we talking about this now?
Come on.
That album is getting the Super Deluxe 30th Anniversary Treatment. A 4 CD, 1 DVD box set tribute.
I don't need that much.
You need
it. I really don't.
You get the track listings for the U.S. and U.K. editions, which, as we all know, were very different.
Didn't know that at all.
The second CD has 12 unreleased live tracks from the 87-88 Whitesnake tour.
Don't need that.
CD 3 has demo and rehearsal versions of every track on the album. And the fourth disc has new remixes of the album's four singles, along with the radio mixes and versions that were only released in Japan.
Wow.
Listen to the excitement.
What's up with you?
The DVD has all the music videos from the album, as well as a 30-minute documentary about the making of the album. It is all Whitesnake!
Here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known.
And it comes with a pair of Tawny Kitaen's panties.
I bet that's not true.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, they would make it perfect.
You
though,
made that up.
The case. Yeah. Remember when she did that? She would do that cartwheel on the hoods of the cars.
Yeah, it was pretty. It's a pretty good video.
Okay, we know what's happening. All right, forget it.
You can look for this all on October 6th. It's happening October 6th, just in time for the lucrative gift-giving holiday season. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. If you're looking for a gift for old Ralph, just saying.
How expensive
four,
is it?
Four discs of Whitesnake.
How expensive?
And a DVD. That's a lot of pleasure in a box. Right?
How expensive is that?
Whatever it's worth, it's a bargain, I'm Kevin. Saying, whatever they're charging, it's a bargain.
I don't believe that's true. I think they're probably.
Hut.
I'm not
You're
the
such
hut.
A hut.
Just come on now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg's 39 years old today. Caitlin Olsen's 42. Christian Slater's 48, as is Everlast and Edward Norton. Dennis Leary's 60 and Robert Redford, icon. Legend, director, producer, actor, and creator of the Sundance Film Festival and Institute.
That's I'd like to punch him in the face.
No, you would not. That's a life's work right there. He's 81. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Rambo.
We put up, Dave, the King of Mexico is here. How many videos do we put up this time?
Probably like 15.
15 videos or something like that. We don't have time to play audio from all of them. One of them is the best first pitch ever, where the guy hits the cameraman in the nuts. Yeah. Another guy is...
You love that. Kevin sometimes tweets things that he says, I watched this 100 times. Yep. I feel like you watched that 1,000 times.
Yeah, I really do. I love it so much. Odell Beckham makes a catch that's just
spectacular
unreal.
Spectacular catch. Front side, one-handed catch over a person.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And by the way... I've seen at least three videos from this training camp of him catching balls with one hand.
Yeah. Do it in a game, man.
He's done it in a game, but does anybody else do that? Are there a lot of players who can do that?
Yes, Dez Bryant.
I've seen Dez Bryant do it. Yeah,
any
true.
Great receiver, like the best receiver, Julio Jones in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. We do have some audio from some of these videos, and I pulled this just because I thought Bean would enjoy it because he loves puns so much. This is the drive-through challenge, animal puns. And they're at a Panda Express, and he's trying to work in as many puns as he can about animals.
Well, well, well.
Hey,
thank you for choosing Panda. My name is Sethi. Would you like to try our honey sesame chicken today?
Honey sesame chicken, you say, huh? Possibly. I don't know. Maybe not. Sorry. Bear with me. I'm trying to figure out what I want.
Yeah, no problem.
I haven't been here in a while. I'm trying to figure out what I want. Actually, you know what? I'm lying. I came here yesterday. I know exactly what I want. You know what? I'm feeling a little husky. We're going to go with the chow mein.
And it goes
see,
on
see, because lion and
right.
possum and whale.
I want Kevin to try that challenge.
I'm not good at puns and I don't enjoy them. So I don't really want
to see. So good casting?
I don't really want to see that happen either. DJ Earworm is somebody that we focus on a lot. He's done a Summer Smash 17. So he takes all of the songs that were popular in the summer of 2017 and does a massive remix.
I didn't know any of those.
Yeah.
What?
The background song is Unforgettable by French Montana, and it's one of the biggest songs of the summer. And I don't know if I hate that song or if I love that song.
You don't know Be Humble?
You know.
I'm the one.
Kendrick Lamar?
I'm the one. DJ Khaled. Justin Bieber. Chance the Rapper.
Every week, Funny or Die puts up Game of Thrones, where they recap Game of Thrones.
But Christina and Jon Snow were serving up Hallmark movie realness. She's a single mom looking for someone to love her and her three dragons and turn their dragon stone into a dragon home. But will she be able to extinguish a former flame? Heartbreaker of chains.
And then maybe Kill Bill is all the shades grossed out when she finds out where Sansa Fierce has been sleeping.
These are mother and father's chambers.
And sleeping in your parents' bed. Who probably used like sex toys. No rinsing, no wet wipes, just thinking the Holy Spirit's going to keep you safe. No, it doesn't. UTIs are coming for everyone. And you know what? I don't think there's cranberry juice or pills back in those days.
No, back then, they would just kill you.
Dumb question, Dave. Jonathan yes. is, he's an actor, right?
No, he is actual hairdresser who
really
who started, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, started doing videos for Funny or Die. And
he's hilarious.
And now he just does these, yeah.
And the final clip that we have for today's Internet Roundup is James Corden, who does a feature called Drop the Mic, where he rap battles. And then in this particular case, it's with Samuel Jackson. Here we go.
Because half the movies you make go straight to DVD, but you work constantly. This might be controversial. Aren't you rich enough now to say no to bank commercials? Seriously, aren't you? Aren't you, though? Aren't you, though?
I am.
There's no way you had a chance tonight to beat me, sucker. Let me borrow your phrase. You're done, mother.
Oh!
Oh! That is Samuel Jackson's turn.
Oh! Now we're breaking my in. Oh, he's rattled. Did I hurt your feelings, James? On the bright side, you battle me. Now people know your name. My look is unmatched. My talent's unshakable. And you're lying if you say you didn't love Unbreakable. Smart girl got roped that I'm what they came to see. And you'll know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. You got your ass kicked, James. I'm a man twice your age. Then get this motherfucking hack off this motherfucking stage.
I mean, come on.
It's good stuff.
That's pretty strong. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
How about some great news?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
I like a sensitive Omar, but
right?
It's nice.
It's real news.
Allie, how did this feature begin? Why are we doing great news? What's the deal here?
There's just so much bad news. And then one day I said, why don't we each bring in a story that is kind of uplifting and means something? Because when you watch the news, it's bad, 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 bad. And then maybe the last story right before the end of the newscast, if there's time,
and there's usually not.
It's the first story to get cut, is something good to leave you with. And we're not being left with it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Not only just a positive story, but something in many cases I have found in hearing this feature the last few times that kind of restores your faith in humanity, too, mm-hmm. because it's so easy to think that most people are bad. And every once in a while, it's good to stop and look around and realize that a lot of people aren't. So you want to get us started today?
Sure, with some great news.
Perfect.
Thank you, Kevin.
It worked perfect.
Right?
Well, right.
That was flawless.
Right. Professionals.
All right. This story is actually out of Toronto. A constable, so a cop up there, was called to Walmart because there was an 18-year-old that was stealing something. So he went and wound up chatting with the guy who said, listen, I'm trying to turn my life around. My father's ill. I need to get a job. And that's when the constable realized he was stealing a dress shirt, a tie, and socks. And instead of charging the guy, he decided, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let him off the hook. I'm going to buy this for him because I want him to go on this job interview. I believe in second chances.
Really?
So this cop gives him this second chance because there was something about him that he believed in and he wanted to see him do well. Well, update to a week later, he gets a phone call. The kid got the job. He's just so blessed that this guy basically didn't say, no, you did something wrong. You need to be punished. He had the heart and the mindset to say, no, I want you to do good. I believe in you and I believe in second chances. So he got the job and he's wearing his dress tie and his socks and everything the cop bought him. And I just thought that was lovely. And if we maybe take a little bit of time and realize everyone has a story.
Why are you whispering?
I'm not sure what's happening.
I got real sensitive.
What about the poor guy running the store, though, who the dude stole the clothes from?
Being the idea is not to ruin the great news.
No, I'm just saying, did somebody compensate him for that outfit walking out the door?
It was a Toronto Walmart, so enough. And the cop bought the clothes.
Oh, the cop bought the clothes. Okay. I thought he just wasn't going to charge him. I didn't know he actually bought the clothes.
Well, that's the whole point of the story. He bought the effing clothes for him.
That's actually great news. That's really great news. Great news.
Why did you stop that time when I had it?
Honestly, Bean, I need you to listen to the stories.
That's a very sweet story, Allie, and I like it very much. And
it's no Owl City.
All right. I have a... my story also involves a police officer, by the way. Unfortunately, the first part of the story is very tragic because an officer did lose his life in the line of duty. New York State Trooper Joel Davis, 36 years old, on July 9th, was called out to a domestic disturbance. This is a terrible story, by the way. It was an Army officer who was in a domestic disturbance with his wife. He ended up not only killing himself and his wife, but the officer, as the officer tried to approach the house in the front yard. Shot him right in the chest. Boom. Just like that, he was gone. Well, as tragic as that is, before his death, Officer Davis, Trooper Davis, I should say, had been building a treehouse for his little girl who was fixing to turn 13 years old. So, as a tribute to the slain officer, 35 police officers from the New York State Police, from the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, from the Watertown City Police, all got together, went over to his house, and finished the treehouse for him. He was no longer there, wouldn't be there to see his daughter's 13-year-old birthday. They all showed up and completed the project in a day. They finished this beautiful wooden treehouse in the family's backyard. It's got a ladder, it's got windows, it's got a door, it's got a porch, an American flag hanging from it. What a wonderful thing for them to do for their fallen comrade, huh?
Agreed.
Lovely.
That is a beautiful story, and that is great news.
And one more. One more story, and this is mine. This is an 8-year-old kid named Camden.
But what kind of news is this?
This is great news.
I feel like I'm the only one that sells it.
Camden is 8 years old. He lives in Poway, California.
Poway?
Poway? Is that what it is? I don't even know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
He was born with a tumor on his T2 and T3 vertebrae. He had three surgeries to debulk the tumor. He's a paraplegic, and he relies on a wheelchair to get around. He met a guy named Paul in kindergarten, and they became friends. So Paul and Camden are friends. Camden's current wheelchair is so big and heavy that he has trouble pushing it. It's too small to get into bathrooms. It's too large to go through doors.
Aww.
So after the boy finished second grade, and I want you guys to understand this is an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
After they finished second grade, Paul told his mom that he wanted to help Camden get a new wheelchair. And Medi-Cal, the state's Medicare, only pays for a wheelchair once every 5 years, and they couldn't afford a new one. So this kid watched a video about fundraising websites, and he thought he would start a campaign for Camden.
Oh, man.
So he could get him a new wheelchair. Oh. How great is that? He writes on the GoFundMe page, "Hi, my name is Paul. Here's a picture of me and my best friend, Camden. We've been friends since kindergarten. We love going to McDonald's to have Happy Meals. We love playing superheroes. But he's been in a wheelchair since before I met him. I asked my mom if I could go on GoFundMe to get him a new wheelchair. His wheelchair is too big for him to fit in the bathroom. He can't even fit through the door. The new wheelchair he's going to get will be more comfortable. He'll be able to do more things on his own. I think he'll be able to go super fast if he gets this new chair and we can play more. Please help Camden."
Oh, Paul.
He was trying to raise $3,900 for a new wheelchair, and they raised $6,000.
Nice.
Yay!
And got him a customized wheelchair.
Oh.
How awesome is
okay,
that?
Okay, Paul is a magic kid, but give it up for Paul's parents. They raised that. That's an amazing child.
Agreed. And that's great news.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
We have been expanding in the podcast space recently. If you subscribe to the Kevin and Bean podcast, you've seen a couple of other new shows that have been available for you in the same feed. One of them is my podcast. Thanks for that podcast, Bean. I just put up a new episode yesterday if you want to check that out.
Is it about
five.
The eclipse?
Actually, there's no eclipse talk on episode 5.
I know, right? As we get close enough to where it makes sense. Like,
I'm over it. I'm really over this.
It can't be over. It doesn't happen until Monday. Now is the time when anyone cares.
No, I'm over this stupid eclipse.
Unbelievable.
But the other one is maybe my favorite new podcast of the year, and it's hosted by some friends that work here on the show, DJ Omar Khan, producer Dave, King of Mexico, and former producer Lightning, who still works here at K-Rock. And the three of them look back on things that happened on the show, going all the way back as far as we have tape on it. And also, and this is what I think is really useful for listeners now, is they also answer a lot of questions. They're like, hey, whatever happened to Miss Double December pageant, for instance, is on this current episode. That's the type of thing that they get into a conversation about. And if you're interested in that sort of thing, they'll tell you about that. Well, this episode that's up now is phenomenal because the spotlight is on an event that happened in 1994. Chip, you were how old when this happened?
I was 8 years old.
Okay.
F you.
A couple of co-workers on the show, Michael the maintenance man, who was literally the maintenance man in the building where K-Rock used to be in Burbank and became a part of the show. And he's our man on the street guy. And we used to send him out and had a lot of fun with Michael. He was with us for a couple of years, maybe more than that. And the other guy was a sports guy named Jimmy Kimmel. Now, I don't know what happened to Jimmy, but he was working for us at that time. And they got into a conversation one day after a listener had called in with a celebrity sighting of Bobby McFerrin, the Don't Worry, Be Happy guy, at Mammoth Mountain. And Jimmy thought that was the funniest thing in the world because, you know, this is very Jimmy. Black people don't ski, right? So Michael, who was African-American, was really, like, ticked off by that stereotype. And they really started going at it.
Which was really surprising because if you know Jimmy at all, you know he's just being funny.
Just being funny, right. Well,
that was a surprising reaction.
It got kind of personal, and you'll hear in this first piece of tape how the discussion turned into, let's settle this in the ring. Let's fight it out.
Jim, when you ready, boy. Now check it out. When you ready. Me and you can go head to toe to toe.
Now, I don't think the fight. Right. I don't think fighting is the
I'll
answer here.
I'll whoop your ass like it ain't never been good, man.
Are you going head to toe to toe?
Toe to toe.
Oh, toe to toe. Okay. Hey, Michael. But white people can't box. You know that.
Hey, yo.
White people can't box.
Yo,
that's not fair.
He is the Jay Cooney of all sports, man. Let me show him what's up.
Right. Well, I don't know that we need to. I don't know that we need to get into fisticuffs.
You ready, Jim?
I don't fight for the white people, and you don't fight for the black people.
No, I'm fighting you because
me and you.
Hey, yo. Y'all arrange this, man?
Yeah, we'll arrange a boxing match. Sure, why not?
Let's arrange this.
Hey,
down,
there's no
man.
Better way to handle problems at work than have the two guys duke it out.
Wait, so this is real. This isn't like, hey, this will be a funny stunt. This
That's was, what I thought. It was like a funny
Yeah,
radio
I thought this was just like a...
Guys, I'm telling you that this is how it went down. What you heard right there is how this happened.
And Lightning is absolutely right. It was one of those things that just kind of came out of nowhere.
But I would like to point out that to Jimmy, this was a funny radio bit.
Yeah, yes. He was still in this. Like, yes. Let's do it. It's fun.
It sounds fun. Let's have a great time. And Michael had a different mindset.
Oh, no.
So Michael is in much better shape than Jimmy is. This was years before Jimmy became the TV dreamboat that he is today. you know, the man who's launched a thousand crushes. Back then, he was just doughy Jimmy. And Mike was in pretty good shape. And Mike worked out, and Jimmy didn't. So we got to talking about how, you know, if Jimmy's going to box with no real experience, he kind of needed a trainer. So that was one of the things we put out a call for on the air. And Lightning explains how that trainer came into our lives.
Jimmy is on the air. It's like, I don't know. You know, I'm gonna kick his ass, but I need to be trained. He's talking smack. And there's a big knock at the back door. And I walked out to the back and opened the thing, and there was a guy standing in gym shorts and a tight shirt, and it's freaking Adam Carolla.
Lightning, by the way, says that Adam had been calling for several days to our producer at the time, Frank Murphy, trying to get in touch with us so that he could maybe volunteer to coach, but Frank wouldn't call him back. So Adam just got in his car and drove to K-Rock and just showed up at the back door. If he hadn't had that initiative, who knows what would have ended up happening with Adam Carolla, right?
That's funny.
So we eventually put the bit together in less than 2 weeks from when the argument started on the air. We have an event in Reseda at a place, I don't remember now where it was, but we actually put this event together and broadcast a boxing match live on the radio. Oh, three rounds of boxing. And we put together celebrity judges, too.
Sitting at the table with our celebrity judges, John Wayne Bobbitt, Tom Murray from KCAL Channel 9, and Saturday Night Live's Adam Sandler. We are here in the broadcast.
Adam Sandler! Stop it.
Adam Sandler?
Wow. Yes. John Wayne Bobbitt, do you guys remember that guy from the 80s?
Yeah.
It was 80s, early 90s,
no,
whatever
90s.
It was.
It was 90s, yeah.
90s?
He got his wiener chopped off.
Yes, he did.
By Lorraine.
Yeah.
So we had him. This is Pat O'Brien doing the play-by-play.
All right, so let me stop us right there.
Wow.
Yes, John Wayne Bobbitt, also a reporter from Channel 9, and Adam Sandler
Adam
is there.
Adam Sandler.
Insane.
Yes, who we actually will hear from in a couple of minutes. So Pat O'Brien at the time. Now, folks that know and remember Pat O'Brien now from TV probably think of him as an entertainment journalist for all those years on Entertainment Tonight and then on Access Hollywood. That's probably what he's best known for now. But he also still does sporting events on television. And he at one point was like a Bob Costas. He was the top of his game. He did all the CBS stuff. He did six Olympics or something like that. I mean, the guy was a legendary sportscaster, and you'll get a little taste of why as you hear him at the beginning of the fight, the great Pat O'Brien doing the play-by-play.
We are here in the broadcast booth ringside. Bud Girls walking around right now with the big number one, indicating the fight is about to begin. I'm going to turn over this microphone to CBS Sports, Pat O'Brien.
Thank you very much, and hi again, everybody. Welcome to the Lita in Reseda here in Reseda, California, as the fighters get ready to come into the ring and finally fight after a two-week buildup in this thing. And I sense that the crowd here is completely into this affair. And as I talked to the fighters earlier, it seemed that Michael was a little more focused than Jimmy.
I just saw Jimmy was out of shirt on, man. That is a tough thing to look at.
As we call this thing live, Jimmy with his hands up now, talking to the crowd, working the crowd here. But I feel that the crowd definitely is on Michael's side.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the opening bell, Scott Mason, let's rumble the Bleeda in Reseda.
By the way, just as a side note, that's not how that expression goes at all. You don't rumble something,
nope.
But apparently that's what I said.
Michael to make this man weighing in at one, two left jabs, right to Jimmy's head, two, three, four, a flurry from Michael the maintenance man, another left jab to Jimmy's head, two left jabs, Jimmy gets a right jab, a left jab, a left jab, Michael the maintenance man going right for the head and right for the immediate knockout here.
Let me pause this for a second. Michael the maintenance man.
He sounds like he's going off on Jimmy.
Michael the maintenance man was fighting for Black America.
Now, Kevin, what is your memory of this moment in the fight where we realize Mike's there to win, not to just have wacky radio
comedy
time?
And not just to win, but to knock the life out of Jimmy. And Jimmy, at the time, I remember, was going, hey, this is supposed to be a bit. Like, this is a radio bit. We're just doing this for fun.
Not Michael, not at all. No, he took it personally, and Jimmy realizes, oh my God, I'm really going to have to fight. Here's a little bit of round two.
Looks Pat O'Brien from the judges' table like Michael the maintenance man so far is leading the fight. Seconds away from round two at the Bleeda and Reseda.
Between rounds, Michael the maintenance man has been getting counsel from his corner. Jimmy has been sitting down, staring at him, focusing on the fight. And here's round two. You have to notice how Michael is broken into a full sweat. There he's back against the rings now. A left flurry, a left jab, a right jab from Jimmy the sausage.
Jimmy the sausage, by the way, is the nickname he came up with on the fly.
Jimmy the sausage.
That's the worst nickname ever.
Now, Dave, who was also a child in like junior high when this happened, now as the producer of the show, he's trying to think, what must it have been like to be like running this event when you realize that somebody really could get hurt? And Dave asks a question that I don't know was on any of our minds back at the time, but it should have been asked.
At any point, did anyone decide to say like, hey, maybe we should stop this? This is too serious.
No.
Like,
no.
And I'm assuming they were wearing headgear and stuff like
they
that.
They were. They had headgear
if it's an amateur fight. But still, you could get knocked out. Yeah. You could still get concussions.
Totally.
Like, and no one ever thought, like, this is going too far.
It was too late. It was too late for that.
By the way, the Kevin and Bean show in the 90s did not have a lot of adult supervision.
Right?
No one cared what we did
at
we
all.
We did a lot of things that we could not get away with. Forget now. We couldn't get away with 15 years
ago. I am embarrassed that neither Bean nor I thought, hey, this is getting out of hand, because it was clearly out of hand from the opening bell.
Yeah.
It was.
And it's going three rounds.
Now, I am not going to give away how the fight ends. I encourage you to go to the B-Team podcast and listen to it, because there's a lot more audio than we have time to play here on the radio, and you definitely want to hear the whole thing unfold. But I do have one more clip at the end of the second round when Kevin is talking to one of our celebrity judges.
An excellent second round. Kevin is at the judges' table.
Adam Sandler, how did you see round number two?
Well, I gotta tell you what I did see. I saw one of Jimmy's testicles fell out of the shore. But I gotta say, I think Michael won that round, too.
You can get it wherever you get the Kevin and Bean podcast. It's the B-Team podcast. I think you'll enjoy it.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it
100,
baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Forget the name of this bit. What is it?
I think it's called Keep It 100, Kevin. Oh. Before we meet our 100th texter, let me tell you what we almost ended up hearing today, because I love this. I love seeing the ones that are right around it. Number 98, Kimberly wrote in for 99 Luft Balloons. I would have enjoyed
that. I don't feel like that's a good Friday song, though,
That would have been fun. I would have loved that.
No.
Jose, Sorry, Try Again for L7, Let's Pretend We're Dead.
Oh,
another
that's a
great
good one.
Song. Number 101, Al City.
No, Al City Fireflies.
Which would have been,
block that person.
See, that
certainly
person
would have been my pick.
There
but
are a lot of people who text in just to be funny.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
That's not one of them. That's a freaking awesome song. Nope. All right. Let's meet our 100th texter for Keep It 100 today. Who's on the line?
This is Barbara. Hi.
Hi.
Barbara, what's going on with you this Friday? Excuse me, this Fri-yay.
No, sir.
Hang up, Barbara.
No, sir.
Hang up.
I am actually sitting in a dentist chair right now praying for Allie's hot dentist.
Yeah, you are, Barbara. Trust me, you are.
And I have a very patient hygienist that is waiting for me to get off the phone.
She's like, I've got a request.
Seriously, I have to talk about a song that I'm requesting.
Well, you're very kind to take out the time. Are you having anything serious done, or just a cleaning and a checkup?
Just a cleaning and a checkup. Unlike Allie, I'm hoping I don't have any cavities.
Gotcha.
That would change if you had my dentist.
All right, Barbara, you get a chance to play a music director here on K-Rock today. What song did you want to hear for Keep It 100?
I wanted to hear Stupid Girl by Garbage.
Oh, nice. That's a great choice.
Great song. How come?
I just love them. I love Garbage, and it's just been such a long time since I've heard that song. I wanted to hear it.
All right, we're going to take care
of it.
Thank you, Barbara. Yes.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
No, Barbara. Bad Barbara.
We're going to take care of your request. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and keep it at 100.
Keep it 100.
All right, here's what I'm seeing from the social media. People love Barbara's choice,
right,
but she lost them with Fri-yay,
yes,
it sounds like.
Correct.
But they're down with the garbage. So there you go. Right. Stupid Girl. Thank you to Barbara from Lakewood, I want to say.
Yeah.
Does that sound right, Lakewood?
It is.
Sure.
Congratulations for being the 100th texter, and thank you for listening, and thank you for keeping it 100. We'll do it next Friday again here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Keep it 100. If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. LANOC's alternative rock. Rock.
Our friend Ralph Garman is here with the final showbiz beat of the week and the final report before you go on vacation, right,
Ralph? Yeah, I'm taking a vacation.
So how many F's do you give about this one?
Heading up to Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah.
For what?
For the totality.
Is that right?
Oh, you want to see the eclipse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Are you kidding me? I wouldn't miss it.
One of its biggest supporters.
No, absolutely.
Love it.
I'm a chaser.
You are.
And Bean, where
are
you going to be?
Moon chaser?
I'm kind of over it.
Where are you going to be?
I'm thinking I might not go.
Might not go at all.
Yeah, I'm thinking I really am kind of bored with it now.
Where were you going before?
Just outside.
Outside.
He's outside.
Oh, through your porch?
He's lost interest.
I might not travel to my porch this week.
I'm actually just thinking about watching TV instead.
He tortures us for months, and then by the time he gets around, he's bored.
Kevin, you know the equation.
Yeah, I do.
Relevance equals non-interest.
Yes.
Minutia equals
all interest.
All interest.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Eclipse.
But he's burned himself out on eclipse fever already and doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, I got my tent packed. We're going to go out there. We're going to go out there in the woods and just wait for
darkness.
A shadow. We're going to wait for a shadow.
Good times.
And then that'll be over in 2 minutes.
All right, I'll see you there.
Have you seen the corporate co-signing that's going on this weekend?
No, I've not.
People are trying to cash in on the eclipse.
You can go to Denny's, Kevin. You can go to Denny's.
Oh, dear Lord.
And you can, on Monday, you can go to Denny's, and for $4, you can get their all-you-can-eat mooncakes. They're like pancakes, but the difference is, oh, there is no difference. They're just pancakes. But they're calling them mooncakes because F you, Denny's. That's why.
They didn't jazz it up at all?
Nope.
Just pancake? Oh.
Yummy.
They say they're fluffy buttermilk pancakes that are shaped just like the moon.
Oh, so they've changed the shape?
They're round, Kevin.
Oh.
This is awful. Oh, my God.
This is the laziest company ever.
Holy crap.
Let's just rename something we already have.
I mentioned that Krispy Kreme is glazing its donuts in chocolate for the first time ever to mark the occasion. Usually it's the white glaze all over the donuts.
Yeah.
But this time it's going to be chocolate glaze to replicate the shadow of the moon.
All right, I'm in for that because it's chocolate.
And it's donuts.
Right.
Yeah. Casper Mattresses. They're offering a stay at Camp Casper in Casper, Wyoming, where they will have luxury tents set up with the company's mattresses inside, so you can camp out on their mattresses and watch the eclipse when it happens.
Have you seen those mattresses?
No.
They like fold out of a box.
I know.
It's fascinating to me.
You can do it for just $500 a person.
Oh.
You can go stay in one of their tents.
Did you say $500 a person?
Oh, I'm sorry. All sold out. But there is a wait list if you'd like to spend $500 to sleep in a tent.
It is crazy. You know how people like rent out their front yard to park in for
sure.
Folks who are going to the Rose Bowl? That's what it's like for the entire 70-mile path of totality across the entire country. It's like every square inch that's available, somebody has figured out a way to get somebody to pay to be on it.
It's crazy.
Bean's over it, though.
Chiquita Bananas has installed a giant glowing banana in New York to celebrate the point at which only a sliver of the sun will be visible.
I'm sorry.
Which it is calling the banana sun. Mm-hmm. When you just see
no,
the little,
that's not,
no, the crescent shape.
That's not a
sun,
thing.
They say it's the banana sun.
That is not a thing.
Because it looks like a banana.
No.
Nope.
Doesn't.
So Chiquita Bananas.
No, sir.
Tying in with their banana sun.
No, sir.
And Nike is having a sale on Monday of all of their black clothing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, sir.
Eclipse.
So, F the eclipse. Right in, right in the ear is what I'm saying. Tina Fey was on a Weekend Update last night. You know, they do a Weekend Update on Thursday nights now for the summer. SNL Weekend Update prime time, and a lot of the former cast members and current cast members of Saturday Night Live have been dropping by, do little bits on that show. It was Tina Fey's turn last night, and she showed up talking about what had happened in Charlottesville. And I did not know this, but it's appropriate enough for Tina to talk about it because she graduated from the University of Virginia, which is in Charlottesville, in 1992. And so the violence there had a particular meaning to her, and it hit her in a hard way. And she did not like Donald Trump's reaction to the violence, or Donnie Johnny, as she calls him. Here was a bit of her appearance last night.
Anyway, Donnie John comes out and he says that he condemns violence on many sides, Colin. And I'm feeling sick because, you know, I've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and I wasn't confused by it. No, Colin, Nazis are always bad. I don't care what you say.
Well, I don't say.
Poor Colin, he took it personally. It was a funny bit last night. We got good news. Looks like there's another standalone Star Wars movie in the works. This one about Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'd like to see that. Han Solo, of course, he's getting his own standalone film. They're talking about Yoda and Boba Fett. And now one for Obi-Wan is in the works. No word yet on whether Ewan McGregor would come back to star as Obi-Wan or not, like he did in the prequels. However, he's always said that he loves the character and would do it if it was given the opportunity. So we got a chance.
It's such a shame for him that those scripts were so bad for the movies that he did, because he was so good.
He was terrific in it, and it's a lot of people are saying they wouldn't want to see him because it would feel like a sequel to the prequels rather than a prequel to the originals.
I don't know what you're what.
I know it's a lot of words.
I'd like to see him.
I would too.
I think he'd be great.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Now, Ralph, are you at all concerned about a point of saturation with too many Star Wars movies, or no?
I don't see that being a problem.
All right.
I don't either.
I think...
if they're all good quality, it's...
And it's a universe, certainly, that can support a lot of different stories, and already does. There's animated Star Wars stories. There's a whole series of best-selling novels based on the mythology of that universe, and it doesn't seem to be... any point where people say they've had too much. Mm-hmm.
And you know what you can do? You can just not see one if you're not as interested in
it.
Oh, no?
That's not an option.
That's not an option.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't know.
David Harbour is talking about Stranger Things. He was doing an interview and he dished out some secrets about the Netflix hit and actually spilled the beans perhaps on something they'd rather he didn't say.
Uh-oh. So you're going to repeat it now?
I am.
Okay, good.
He said that, well, first of all, he loves working with the kids on the show because he said it makes it spontaneous and fun and inventive and creative, and they're all great. And often at the end of a scene, they will all enjoy a big group hug after they film together. And he says, but it's getting a little weird because everyone is sort of becoming hormonal teenagers at this point, and he says he's starting to feel bad for him because things are getting awkward.
Oh.
He said also he'll be happy to see watch them grow more as they continue into season 3.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He let the cat out of the bag on that one. Season 2 debuts in October, and no one had announced yet, but apparently there's already a plan for a season 3.
Fantastic.
On Netflix, so.
Oops.
Yeah, oops indeed.
It gave me a boner.
Wow.
I mean, Chief Hopper excited. Does.
What happened?
He's Chief Hopper
Chief
on the
Hopper.
Show. He's,
right, yeah.
He's odd.
Character name on the show. Oh.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg's 39 years old today. Caitlin Olsen is 42. Dennis Leary is 60 years old. Robert Redford turns 81 years old today. Edward Norton is 48. Christian Slater also 48. And Everlast is 48. Remember when we had our music correspondent, DJ Omar Khan, interview Everlast?
It was pretty strong.
They got into a really deep, in-depth conversation about his smash hit that we used to play here on K-Rock.
Speaking of guitar... You know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock. The name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry. What it's like.
Yeah. Close, but no cigar.
We've all been there, Omar.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Hi, Muggs.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good.
What other restaurants don't exist anymore, Muggs?
None that I know of. It was just Clifton's yesterday that left me heartbroken. But today, I'm going to be at the Bray Mall Hot Topic from 1 to 3 p.m. with more chances for you to win Green Day tickets, Paramore. Of course, you pick up the new K-Rock Summer sticker. We had 200 people show up yesterday. We had to start giving away Hot Topic merchandise. It was that packed.
I bet they frowned on that.
No, no.
Picking stuff off the shelf and handing it out
Muggs,
to people.
We're just throwing it out the front door.
Hey, someone's got to pay for this stuff. We worked it out, you know. But no, yeah, come out today. We're there from 1 to 3, and your chance to win more awesome prizes. Bray them all.
Thank you, Muggs. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with a commercial-free drive home starting at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. We will see you on Monday morning. We've got Dana White in studio.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This was a success.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's real talk right there, man.
I'm your biggest fan. I don't mean that like a psycho. I'm not a psycho.
But don't bogart that joint.
Now hiring both locations.
Just pass it around.
Oh my God, that's sexual harassment.
Mommy Mikey.
I just pass it on down.
I just don't think like this world, this process, this journey, this show, like I just don't think like it's for you.
Today was a little rough. Just, I don't know. Just awkward. I really don't know how else to describe it. Today maybe didn't go all the way as I planned.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
I was skeptical. It seemed too good to be true. But I'm so glad I tried it.
Fire must cleanse us.
That's the end of the story.
Corn, how'd that get on my back?
The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's dumb. You're dumb.
Your face is dumb.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.